I invite you to rise in body or in spirit for the reading of God's word found in the epistle letter from Paul to the Romans, starting in chapter 12 as we witness to the word. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on, dear life, to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be alert, servants of the Master, and cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. Bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy. Share tears when they're down. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. Our scriptures tell us that if you see your enemy hungry, go buy the person lunch. Or if he's thirsty, get him a drink. Your generosity will surprise him with goodness. Don't let evil get the best of you. Get the best of evil by doing good. This is the inspired word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. There are times in our lives where we strive to measure ourselves. We had that a little bit of that with our children, how eager they were to be measured in their height, because they know they're growing. Children measure their lives, as we saw, by fingers on their hands, especially the number of years. And the goal, that first big goal, is to get to two hands, right? To get to 10, to be able to put up all 10 fingers. In middle school, the counting is actually more the number of years until you get to high school, right, middle schoolers? How many years to high school? One, two, three. And in high school and in middle school, you start counting the number of friends that you have, especially the ones that you can count on. For our high school students among us, you guys are probably counting the number of years until you get your driver's license if you've yet to get there. You might be counting the number of years to graduation, or in some cases, the number of months. Sorry, parents who have seniors. They're counting down. They really are. High school students measure their grade point average. They measure the number of credits to graduate, ACT scores, SAT scores, the number of college visits. When folks get into their 20s and 30s, the measurement changes a little bit. And they're often measuring the miles of the commute to that first job, or how many zeros are behind on that first real big paycheck for that first real job. As life goes on, you start measuring the number of children or the number of months until the baby arrives. Always numbers are looking forward up until our 20s and 30s. We also are looking forward, those with smaller children, looking forward to, oh my goodness, paying for college down the road. And some are actually looking at the number of years until they're an empty nester. We have a few of those among us. Dale and I are getting close to that. Those who are single maybe measure their the number of trips that they take or the promotions in a job. Everybody has a way to measure. As we age, the older we get, we start to measure in a way that's more looking back and not so much forward. So I ask you this morning, how do you measure your life? How will you measure your life depending on which stage you're in. Of course, the easiest way to measure our lives is in the number of years that we've been alive, number of birthdays we've had. The older we get, the less we like to tell people what those numbers are, right? Right? We like to do that less and less. We might be measuring the number of years we've been single or the number of years we've been married, the number of years to retirement or the number of years that you've been in retirement. Maybe it's one of my favorite ways to measure is the number of days, weeks, or months to the next vacation, right? I think our young people are probably starting to measure that Thanksgiving break is coming up. They might be counting those days. But we also might be measuring in the number of years we're working, or the number of months or years we've been grieving the loss of a loved one. Some of us measure by the number of offspring that we have, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, nieces, nephews, cousins. Some measure by the days of the week or the number of weeks. A common way to measure is the number of days or weeks we've been on a diet. Right? We sometimes do that. The number of pounds that we've lost or gained. We like to lose probably more than we like to gain. Maybe we measure by our blood pressure points or our blood sugar numbers or our cholesterol numbers. Society tends to measure our lives by the possessions that we acquire and by the salary that we have. Number of cars in the garage, number of TVs that we have or electronic devices, number of bedrooms or square footage, the most up-to-date number on our iPhone or Android phone. Many measure using money. You might measure with your salary, how much you have to pay on your home loan or, for younger people, student loans, how much you will inherit when a loved one dies. How much medical bills cost? Some of us are in that stage. How much a funeral will cost? For those facing illness, your life might be measured by the number of appointments that you have or the amount of time that it takes to get to those appointments, the number of doctors that are on your team or the number of chemotherapy or radiation treatments to go. There are many ways, my friends, to measure our lives. So what numbers define you? What are your numbers that you use to measure your life? In today's passage in Paul's letter to the Romans, we discover how the Apostle Paul would have us measure our lives. He gives us some insight on that. In this letter in the church to Rome, Paul is saying, let's put love at the center. Let's measure our lives by the number of people that we love, the number of people that we help, how we reach out to the poor and the marginalized, how we are challenged to put God first and other people first in our lives. Paul teaches us about doing the things that Jesus did. For those of you that are not probably under 20, you probably remember WWJD, what would Jesus do? And that's a way that we can live our lives. Some of the things that Jesus did was Jesus ate with sinners, the people that nobody else wanted to eat with, and Jesus cured the lame, and he touched those that were considered unclean, even though others were said to not do that. Confirmation today, we talked about the Good Samaritan and how the priest walked by and the Levite walked by, because they didn't want to be made unclean by touching the man who was bleeding and left for dead. I shudder to think if Jesus didn't teach what he taught, what society would be like. Jesus' life can be measured in so many profound ways, and in so many ways that are far different than the way society would have us measure his life and our life. Here's some of the numbers that measure Jesus' life. 3. Jesus was in ministry a mere 3 years. It's also the number of days he lay in the grave. More than 10,000. That's a big number. Do you remember what more than 10,000 number represents?
When he fed with fishes and loaves.
five loaves of bread and two fish when he fed more than 10,000. He actually did it twice, by the way. And so that's a big number. 12, thank you, by the way. 12, what's 12? Those original disciples, right? 40, there's another number for Jesus. What's 40? Days in the wilderness, right? Tempted by Satan, and? How long it rained. Yep. For Noah. It's also the number of days that Jesus came back after his resurrection and was on the earth. 37. Bet you can't guess that number. 37 is the number of documented people that Jesus healed in the Bible. Those are the ones that are documented. Those are the ones that are actually named. There's also a part in Scripture that says, and other miracles too numerous to name. Okay, so 37 named miracles of Jesus healing in the Bible. There's also others, like too numerous to count. That's written in the Bible. Too numerous to count the amount of fish that almost broke the nets when Jesus says, throw it off on the other side and see what you can get. Too numerous to count the number of people that have followed Jesus since Jesus' ministry on this earth. Too numerous to count. Those are some compelling numbers about following Jesus. This is what Paul is trying to get across to us in this message that he writes to the church in Rome. He's telling them that their reward for following Jesus is not glory on this life, but glory in the world to come. And that's why he uses the words in Scripture today that he did. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Words to live by. Don't insist on getting even. God says he'll do the judging. Jesus gives us a different way to live than that is counter to our world. And in today's passage in Romans, and in many places in Scripture, Christ invites us to measure our lives by giving up the material things in this world in order to be open to the spiritual things that come in Jesus Christ, those things of spiritual nature, the ways that we love, the ways that we help, the ways that we reach out for Jesus Christ. In Christ's kingdom, both here on earth and in heaven, measurements like wealth and power and authority have no value. We have to value things that are set for us as followers of Jesus Christ, things that are not of this earth. For those who measure their lives by riches and worldly things, the result is often being poor in spirit. We read that in Scripture a lot. But to be generous by sharing our worldly wealth, it is then that we reap heavenly riches. So again, my friends, I ask you, how will you measure your life? Will you measure it by the time that you spend volunteering with children and youth, volunteering to lead a group? Will you measure it by the hours spent serving in ministries here at the church? Will you measure it by giving generously of your gifts to Christ's ministries here at this church? Will you measure it by serving those in the community that are in need? Again, Paul says in Romans, Scripture tells us if that you see the enemy hungry, go buy that person lunch. Or if he's thirsty, get him a drink. Your generosity will surprise him or her with goodness. Whether you're measuring your life by looking backward, measuring it by looking forward, how much will you give to Christ? How much will you of your time and your resources will you give? Generosity is a measurement in life, a far greater one than the amount of stuff we have. Showing love to others is a great way to measure your life. I invite you to reframe your thinking and to measure your life by kingdom values, godly, Christ-like values. Measure your life by the acts of goodness that you do, by the acts of goodness that you witness in your midst, and by the love that you share with one another. Comfort in riches is not lasting, but comfort in Christ, comforting for Christ, lasts for eternity. In a little while, we're going to go to the Lord's table, and you will have the opportunity to offer up your commitment of time and money, a measurement that shows how you value your relationship with Jesus Christ. I invite you to spend a few moments prayerfully considering how God is calling you and your family to measure your life and then put that commitment into writing. It's a confidential thing between you and God and a very small number of people, servants who work with our finances in the church. It's your commitment. It's your heart. It's your Lord. Let us pray. Almighty and loving God, help us to measure our lives by the love that we share and the ways that we share that love with the resources we have. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Amen.